Greetings, everyone, and welcome to yet another exciting edition of Shoulda Had a D8, where we invite friends, family, and fans to join us as we discuss the events that transpired on Descent into the Void and the Natural Ones. Today, we have the cast of Descent into the Void here to discuss what happened in the previous episode. So, last time on Descent into the Void, we found that the Liberators had, after being swindled by some rakish rogues, you decided to do a little shopping with the little funds that you had left and realized you guys are broke. So going around, you went and split the party, going off into different districts or circles within the Arcane Capital. Cal, Monaco, and King going off towards the Dust District to do a little shopping and adventuring and possibly finding out what's going on in that area to get some reagents, while surprisingly, Duran decided to leave off on his own with Horatio as his guide to pick up an item for his beloved. And then afterwards, you all met up together after being blasted with advertisements for Mage Wars, Mage Wars, Mage Wars! Back into the Dust District, went through its enchanted forest and discovered strange druidic people who were doing tarot card readings as well as other types of mystical arts, and were approached by a little girl who later you discovered was the leader, or the queen of these people within this forest. You were searching for a place where you can find the shrines for the Prolepsy, as each of you, most of you, worship Prolepsy, and found that strange graveyard-like area where all their shrines were kind of destroyed or in bad quality, and then you decided to spend some time cleaning it up. Cal going over to Kelimvor and finding a dwarven man repeating the numbers that appeared on his gun, and King and Duran meeting with what you discovered was an elven woman who was the leader of the elves here, who were really not humans, but the druids who were not humans, but elves nonetheless, and gave him a prophecy and a goal to head down into where the elves are in the layers below, as well as combining the union between Duran and King, known as the Steli. And then afterwards, Cal, you went off following the instructions by the gentleman to the Great District, where you met the knights or the followers of Kelimvor. So, and meanwhile, Monaco and Horatio, the two of you went up following Monaco's request to talk with the Judean to see if there were ways to trap a devil, as she had an idea to remove herself from the Burning Hand's grasp, to which he obliged and gave her a ritual. So, winding back, the first question goes towards Duran. So, Adam, you went off and did some shopping for King. My first question to you is, what's going through Duran's mind wanting to pick up something for King? He's not a very materialistic person, but he definitely seemed like he wanted to do something special. What was the idea behind that?
Well, as Duran sees it, like, King is really invested in this new transformed version of Chastafold, and he knows it's important and it's precious to him, and he wants to give him something that that he'll see and be reminded of Duran's affection towards him. And he wants to also be there to protect the things that are important to him. And that's what the gesture is supposed to kind of encapsulate.
All right. And with King, with his love for King, is Duran nervous when it comes to King, when it comes to things like this?
He is a little bit nervous, yes. These are really romantic kind of gestures, and he's not really... This is like, I think for Duran, this is like first true love, you know?
All right. And bringing with you Horatio. So following my follow-up question goes towards Lewis. So Horatio was invited by Duran to find this item, like no one else. And of course, he was being extremely shady about it. But how... Now we're starting to see a budding, it's already budded, but like the friendship between the human and the elf. Was there anything going through Horatio's mind or thoughts when he was invited to find this special item for King?
Absolutely. A person that you consider like a really good friend is asking you to help find something special for their significant other, you know, so... Horatio definitely felt, you know, kind of like, oh shit, you know, this is one of my best friends here. You feel me? And he's asking me to pick something out for another one of my best friends. So, yeah, he was extremely ecstatic to help and just enjoyed the fact that this... Like, Duran is doing something unlike him, and he notices that, and it's a beautiful thing to see because of love.
Nice. Well, so, and then after able to get this item fashioned, though it would take some time to finish up, you all headed off towards where King Monaco and Cal went. And that, of course, passing the Mage Wars advertisement on your way there. But the scene shifted, and then we were brought to the trio who made it to the Dust District. So the next question goes towards King. So, King, interest does King have when it comes to the Dust District, and what he's expecting at that point to get out of it and his experience?
Well, so I was planning for King to go there because of one of his spells. So he has the ability to do Word of Recall. But to do that, we have to have a holy place or a place that's really dedicated to my god. So I assumed that the druids would respect all gods or at least have shrines dedicated to Mylaki. So that was my reasoning for going there and learning more. And... there was just so much more there than I expected. But that was the intent, to sort of be able to bring the group in a moment back to a safe haven if we are in the future in like grave danger peril that we cannot survive. You know what I mean? I'm trying to set up my ace in the hole, basically, for later, thinking ahead.
Right. And then, eventually you guys fast forward, all met up and went into this forest, this forest where people were just holding hand in hand, basically gleefully going in, and then the entire scenery changing to this dark, thick thicket of a forest, walking in there and seeing all these tents and people getting fortune tellers. It's a very mystical feel. What were your thoughts on entering this? And this is a question for anybody and everybody.
It felt a little like Ren Faire, like IRL Ren Fairy, which was cool because I liked them. So it felt like familiar and I totally like got the vibe. It had like a dark mystic sort of like feel to it, and I could totally see it, and I was like intrigued to learn more.
It was dope. He, you know, Horatio's interested in all sorts of magic, whether arcane, natural, divine. It doesn't matter to him, just the fact of feeling it, you know, it's like his comfort zone. And he's already said that when he was in Thelos, he's like, I feel like I'm home, because he just loves everything magic.
And then of course you all went shopping, specifically meeting one of the druids who had a bunch of reagents. King, you picked up a couple things, and Monaco, you went and found some things, but also got more hints on where to get other items that you were charged with to complete your potion, your mischievous potion. So, but then of course, alluding this to anyone else in the party at the time. So my next question goes towards Alex. So Monaco went in there and was looking for this nightshade and these items, and then of course the proprietor was a little suspicious on your items that we were getting. What was going through her mind at that time?
Well, backup plans. You know, she doesn't know how things are going to go, and so she figured worst comes to worst, she can still kind of bargaining with the burning hand. She doesn't know how that's going to go. So she expects that, if it doesn't go her way, then she can at least fall back on pretending or something. You know, she made some progress towards it.
All right. So basically if all else fails, does she feel that she'll go through with it, or if it's more like something that she'll taunt in front of the burning hand?
So there's probably a lot of usefulness for it, just having the potion, especially if she has to, you know, trap him in a different vessel or something.
Ah.
I don't know.
Oh, interesting. All right. All this time, you were doing shopping, being visited by a strange little girl who talked in the royal we pronouns as she spoke. But they gave you hints to just walk deeper into the forest of looking, thinking of what you're looking for, and eventually you'll come upon it if your intentions were true. And alas, eventually you did continue walking and found your prolepsy holy ground, so to speak, that seemed a little defiled or unkempt. And you spent some time going around and cleaning it up. And it was at this time where Cal walked off onto his own and saw a dwarven armored paladin making prayers, shouting, using the numbers and more of like a prayer that was on his weapons and praying to Kelimbor. So what was going through Cal's mind at that time? This one goes to Zeki.
Oh my gosh. I got so excited because I heard the number sequence and it was the same one that I had written down and everything else. So I was like, wait, this is very important. But I didn't want to, like, seem too eager because, you know, I don't really necessarily know who this is or what could be going down. But knowing that it was with and for Kelimbor, I was, like, a lot more comfortable about it. And then when I got the card, I was like, how do I activate this thing? Oh, my God. So I was like, I need to feel like, because it's like, oh, use Kelimbor. Like, this doesn't make a lick of sense, but let me see what I can come up with to channel divinity properly. And it worked out. So that was really, really awesome.
That was great. I was like, all you need to do is just, if he summons the power of Kelimbor through it, which is what the dwarf kind of said, was kind of alluded to, though he was very mysterious with it. But then you telling your identity is summoning Kelimbor, so you were able to activate it, showing you the map to get there. So that was very well done on your part.
Yeah, that was a lot of, and then it worked out well because then it brought everybody back whenever I made the loud like thunderclap. Like, oh, sorry guys, just doing some god stuff.
Just doing some vagary lightning prayers. But yeah, nevertheless, you went ahead and unlocked the card and was able to find the map. And you made back with your group, though you didn't tell them everything. Was there a reason behind your...
I want to just see what it's about before I get my friends involved in it.
Indeed. And then with that, Monaco and You all decided to go your separate ways to handle your own business. And actually one of the few times we find the deliberators to be a little bit more self-kept and keeping their agendas to themselves. Or, well, technically, no, as all the listeners who listen to when you all know you're... when you guys go to avoid your hidden agendas, those of you who have them. But you all kept it to yourselves and split up your own ways into three packs, with Monaco and Horatio going off to meet with Judean, the High Archmage. And because Monaco apparently wants to trap or remove the Burning Hand out of the equation, and to do so, kind of manipulated Horatio a little bit. So this next part goes to both Alex and Lewis. So you found yourselves going to the Corporis Arcana, meeting up with Judean and spilling the beans and give him all the tea on what's going on, much to Horatio's shock. And then it seems that Judean did have a response to be able to trap this god, this fiend, this devil, for a price. That in order to do so, Horatio would have to complete a pact and completely join, now and forever, the Corporis Arcana, to which he had declined earlier. But this time, looking at Monaco, he agreed, and so the pact was made, the deal was made, struck. What was going through your guys' mind at that point?
Alex, feel so bad, by the way.
Lies! Lies!
Liza Minnelli's!
Liza Minnelli!
They accused me.
Horatio was in a tough situation because he keeps piling on problems for himself, and then he feels like he has to solve the group's problems as well. So he saw that moment as like, this is getting closer to helping Monaco, but fuck. And as a player myself, I am very intrigued as to know why is it that Judeus wants me back in the Corporis so badly, because he had been pushing for it. Like when I offered to bring, or when Horatio offered to bring his mother back, he was like, yeah, that's great, and you should join too. It's like, yeah. And then this moment happened, and I think he felt, or Judeus felt like he had a massive advantage over getting Horatio, and he did, technically. But yeah, Horatio just wants to fix everyone's problems and keeps piling on more problems for himself. And that's what was going through my mind as a player and Horatio's, technically.
So now Horatio, if this is meta and you don't reveal, you don't have to, but is Horatio going to be true to his word?
I don't know.
Okay.
Let's find out. Let's find out.
Okay.
He is rumored to be Horatio the goodest boy.
Here we go.
I should say, Monaco's reasoning for doing all this, she doesn't want to be powerless in a relationship again. so she's finding a way to have power over her devil boyfriend.
Indeed. And then you guys, of course, Judean said he would take a couple days to get the necessary ingredients and the wizards involved to create this ritual. And then the scene has shifted. Well, it didn't shift to this, as had happened, but the last we would discuss on our chat today would be the infamous wedding.
Oh my goodness.
The
oh my
crystals. Goodness. Yeah, so Duran and King remained over at the sanctuary, so to speak. The sanctuary of the Prolepsy, and while there, King began to pray and use his divine power to enrich the lands, and in doing so, use the power of Myleki as enhancing all the plant life around you. This drew the attention of the girl who spoke to you earlier, who revealed herself to secretly be an elf, and all the Jewets here were elves. Elves who were charged to stay here in Duskhaven, waiting for the king to be crowned, so to lead him to the promised land where his destiny would be fulfilled. You had walked with her after she turned into her elvish form.
No, it was totally not intentional, and I don't think that he even thought of it like that until after, and we as people said that, because I don't know, I just, like, sort of like Duran said too, it's his first love. Like, he's seen it, knows what it's supposed to be like, but he's never felt cared for in the way that he has been by Duran, and going through so many, like, life-changing, like, life or death battles just has been like, you know, you're young, but that doesn't matter. Love the ones you love and get, you know, and why wait? So if he's willing to make that connection and bond, which is why King said, are you sure you want to do this? And he said, you know, absolutely. And then it was like, okay, done deal.
And they basically have trauma bonded on so many different levels. They've bonded in so many different ways through so many ordeals in this time span. And they have that shared kind of understanding of elven values and goals. And all that just really came together in a really powerful and completely unprompted moment, because neither of us got warned or anything that we're going to have to improv that off the top of our heads. But that's D&D for you, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it was so romantic, though.
It was.
How does everyone else feel being uninvited to the ceremony?
Accidentally omitted.
Once
Horatio finds out, he is going to be fuming.
I mean, they did have earrings the whole time and could have definitely warned them or said some shit was happening.
Nah, but Horatio won't be fuming for real. That's me joking around. I, as a player, I'm fuming that my character wasn't invited.
It's not that you weren't invited.
It's okay.
Could you imagine if we're this, like, goddess is basically like, I'm willing to bind you together. And we're like, can you just give us like 2 hours for all of our friends to fly here? And she's like, no, the magic would have been lost.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
I
want to take selfies while we get the magic.
Cal, I think, is going to be very supportive of what happened. Zeki, however, is very disappointed.
Go ahead,
Alex.
This gives us an opportunity to celebrate it, you know, afterwards.
Yeah, I mean, we're still going to celebrate it.
Is that why you guys were getting gifts for each other? You just were, like, planning, like, your own...
No,
your own registry, and no. Like, you just didn't tell us about it.
This was planned.
I have no money. I can't buy him anything. That's why I did the thing I did.
And Duran has no understanding of magic, so you know he couldn't have known.
I have a question for Duran. How do you feel now, knowing what it feels like to have a god inside of you? Because the Tale Weaver described what it feels like to have a god in you.
Oh man, I feel like I have to be careful what I'm gonna say because I don't want to get it cut.
I put that god in you.
Yeah, I don't know. That may not be the first time he's had a little god in him. Duran's understanding of magic is kind of limited. It's mostly what he's learned from talking with Horatio and King, having magic explained to him in a kind of ELI-5 fashion. Mm-hmm. So this is like the most intimate magic experience he's ever had. And he had it with King. It's probably parallel to the second most, which is when King came back in the ship. Both, once again, huge magic revelation bonding events between him and King.
So then my last question to two of you is, What do you guys think is going to happen with now? So now that Duran has the imprint of the Steli on his head, and he's now forever connected to King, to stop the hastening of his becoming of Myla King, what do you think, or what do you expect, or do you have any fears on what the repercussions of this connection will cause to Duran?
I, Adam, in real life, I think Duran jacked up. I think he screwed up. I think he's gonna, like, he's only 100 years old as an elf, and he may have just given up, like, a massive amount of time in his life. Like, a few hundred years just, like, it passed on that for King. And I think maybe he's a little, he may not be mature enough, but maybe he got lucky, so we'll see.
That's very interesting. Keep that, remember that theory that you had as things unfurl. And King, same question?
I mean, I think that's exactly what happened. I sort of understood that to be the case, so I don't think that Duran fucked up. I felt like he willingly, you know, gave that blessing.
That's what he wanted. I just think if he was like 200 years older, I think he would have maybe thought a few more seconds longer before saying, yeah.
All right. So with that, the union between King and Duran commenced, and the Serio, as they were called themselves, queen or matriarch, bid you farewell, as the rest of the fake creatures that were flying in this or floating around in this woods joined her, and they disappeared into the fog, leaving you there as the ground slowly over the 8 hours is being consecrated and blessed with the power of the plant life through Myleki. And of course, the scene ended with Cal walking into the secret door of the knights who worship Kelimvor, opened up and was greeted with many questions and shock and awe and excitement as the prodigal son had returned. Well, thank you guys so much for listening. Thank the cast of A Tale of the D20s for joining us on this Shoulda Had a D8. As always, from the first chapter to the last page, take care of yourself and be kind, and we love you. Thank you so much.